need to work on becoming uncomfortable on purpose. We are creatures of our comfort zone. You have to trade temporary discomfort for long-term discomfort. You'll either experience temporary discomfort now while working to achieve your dreams, or you'll experience discomfort in the long term when you don't achieve your dreams. So would you rather be uncomfortable now working toward your dreams, or would you rather be uncomfortable 10 years from now looking back and thinking, oh my gosh, why didn't I work on my dreams? Welcome to Is This All There Is?, the podcast for high-achieving women who have checked all the boxes of success and are left feeling overwhelmed, unfulfilled, and stuck. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ryan Fear, and in each episode, we'll use principles of cognitive psychology, feminist theory, and expert mindset coaching to help you build the confidence and clarity you need to accomplish whatever it is you want, even if you don't yet know what that is. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to Is This All There Is? Episode number 34. I hope that wherever you are in the world, this episode finds you well. Whether you're in the Northern Hemisphere like I am and you're enjoying your summer, or if you're in the Southern Hemisphere and you are enjoying your winter, wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying it. At the time of recording this podcast, it is the beginning of July, which is nuts. And I'm pretty sure I say this every single year where I'm like, oh my God, how is it July already? Where has this year gone? But this year really feels like it's spinning by. It kind of feels like, you know, those merry-go-rounds on children's playgrounds, they don't have them so much anymore. Turns out they're really dangerous. But I remember being a kid and you would get on the merry-go-round and somebody would spin and spin and spin and spin and spin you. And this force would be so strong that sometimes all you could do was hold on. So anyway, sometimes life feels like that. And if you're in that space right now, I hear you and I have so much compassion for you because that is so the human condition, right? Where we're just so busy doing that we forget that we can take a step back and we can be more conscious about how we're spending our time and our energy. So let's do a quick assessment. It's July. How are you doing with the goals that you've set for yourself for this year? Did you set any goals for yourself this year? Did you set any intentions for 2023? And how are those going? Not from a place of beating yourself up or judging yourself or any of those things that we are learning not to do, but from a place of curiosity. If I have already achieved my goals, what do I want to do next? If I have forgotten my goals, what do I want to do next? If I haven't achieved my goals, if I'm not as far along as I wanted to be, what do I need to pivot? What do I need to change in order to continue to make progress on my goals? So right now, even though, especially where I live, it's kind of like the thick of the summer, early July, there's a lot going on. We try to capitalize on the nice weather. Now is a really good time to take a step back and do an inventory, an assessment of where you are within your goals, within your intentions, and where you want to be, and what can you do to close that gap. So today's episode is all about how to get it done. So we're going to talk about creating a 30-day goal and what usually gets in our way when we create goals and how to get past that. And you'll leave us some practical tips on what you want to accomplish in the next 30 days and how to accomplish it. So if you want to produce a lot in a short amount of time, you need to become really good at planning and following through on your plans. So you need to become the type of person that takes control of her life, takes control of her time, her energy, the things that she's doing, rather than being a victim, as I know it's so easy to fall into, a victim of what everybody else needs and wants from us. So you have to be really good at creating plans and then following through with them. You also have to learn how to be uncomfortable and do what needs to be done anyway, because discomfort is the currency to fulfill our dreams. In the last week's episode, I talked about increasing your failure tolerance, and I talked quite a bit about expanding your tolerance for discomfort. Because really, once you can learn to be uncomfortable, once you can learn to feel doubt, once you can learn to feel uncertain about things, you really can accomplish anything. So you need to work on becoming uncomfortable on purpose. We are creatures of our comfort zone. You have to trade temporary discomfort for long-term discomfort. You'll either experience temporary discomfort now while working to achieve your dreams, or you'll experience discomfort in the long term when you don't achieve your dreams. So would you rather be uncomfortable now working toward your dreams, or would you rather be uncomfortable 10 years from now looking back and thinking, oh my gosh, why didn't I work on my dreams? That's the only trade that makes sense when you have big dreams and goals. So if you think about what costs you your dreams, it's likely one of the following things. It's confusion, doubt, self-pity, or fear. These are all feelings that lead to inaction instead of fueling massive action. So when you're stuck in self-pity, you're stuck in fear, you're stuck in confusion, you're stuck in doubt, those emotions are just going to keep you stuck. They're not going to help you reach your goals or reach your dreams. And I find myself getting stuck in these frequently. The good news is, after doing thought work for so long and managing my mind, managing my thinking and my emotions, I'm able to catch it a lot earlier. But it's so easy to get into that mentality of like, oh my gosh, I'll never do this, or I don't know what to do, or reaching out to do the next thing is super scary. But these are all things that you can learn to identify and move on. So you are going to set a 30-day goal. Pick something, one thing and one thing only, that you can accomplish in 30 days. Pick something that you'll actually do and something you can create. It needs to be something that doesn't exist now but will exist in 30 days. It could be a chapter in a book, a web page, a cleaned out bedroom closet, maybe a leaner body, a month of not drinking. Maybe it could be a certain thing in your business. If you work with clients, maybe you find 3 new clients, or even you start to create a new business. Just pick something. The trick is that once you pick, you can't change your mind. This is one of our brain's tricks, my friends, is we pick a goal, we get excited about it, it starts to get a little scary, and then we're like, oh, but maybe I want to do this other goal. Like, I am going to, in 30 days, I am going to be able to run a mile without walking. And then we're like, yay, I'm so excited for this goal. And then once we start doing the work, we're like, oh, actually, maybe I want to pay down some debt instead. Or maybe I want to start working on that book that I've always said I'm going to work on. Don't let your brain do that. Our brains love to sidetrack us, because anytime we start to get uncomfortable, remember that your brain is hardwired to avoid discomfort. And so it's going to be like, let's do this other shiny thing that sounds more fun because we're not actually working on it. Okay, so give yourself a deadline to have something picked by the end of today. And after that time, no changing. If you're the kind of person who likes to sleep on things, you could give yourself 24 hours. I'll give you that. Excuse me. But give yourself a hard and fast deadline to at least either by the end of today, whenever you're listening to this, or 24 hours from right now, you've picked your 30-day goal. So what sounds fun? What sounds exciting? What sounds like a stretch, but is still manageable, but isn't something that's going to throw you into the danger zone? So once you picked your goal, you are going to write down that by, and then put the date and time, this 30 days from right now, by that date and time, I will have completed and created, then write your goal. I will know I'm done because of, and then you'll write what your result is that you can measure. Now, I don't know about you, but if you worked in education, and I'm sure there are other industries that are like this too, you probably have been smart goaled within an inch of your life. And so I'm pretty anti-smart goal because it brings up a lot of trauma for people. But there is wisdom to having a goal, setting a goal that you can actually look at the end of 30 days and be like, yeah, I accomplished that goal. Because if it's something more vague, if it's something that's not measurable, how are you going to know you achieved it in 30 days? So by the date and time, 30 days from now, I will have completed and created whatever your goal is. I will know I'm done because of, and then how will you know? What's your measurable result? So for example, by August 10th at 6 p.m., I will have written the first draft of the first chapter of my book, or I will have created an outline for my book. I'll know I'm done because I will have the first chapter created, or I will have the outline created. So your goal, again, has to be measurable, so you'll know when you've completed it. There has to be a deadline. In this case, it's 30 days from now. So pick something that not only causes you to stretch, but also something that you can complete within 30 days and the time you have available to you. So if you're planning on going on vacation for 2 weeks, for example, pick something that you can work on while you're on vacation. Do something that's reasonable. So if you're going out of town, don't pick cleaning out your closet unless you think that you can do that within a shorter amount of time. Okay. Once you've written down your goal, commit to it. Think in your mind or say out loud, I'm committing to this goal. Your brain's going to freak out. That's okay. That's what brains do. Then ask yourself these three questions. The first one is, why do I want to achieve this goal? So setting the why, as you know, is super powerful. What impact will this goal have in your life? What will it be like when you've accomplished this goal? The next question is, why will I do it no matter what? So commit to this goal by stating why you'll do it no matter what comes up. If you're looking to lose weight, ask yourself, why am I going to stay committed to this no matter what? Why is this important to me? Who will I be accountable to? Do you need to grab an accountability buddy? Maybe if you're a runner and you're doing a running training program, you have a friend who could do it with you, or at least someone to check in with to let them know how your progress is going, or someone who will check in with you and hold you accountable to your goal. This is why having a coach is so amazing, because you have someone who is, it's part of their job to hold you accountable to doing what you say you're going to do. So it can be super helpful to have a coach for that. So when you set a goal, it becomes your result. So if you're familiar with the thought model that I teach, the five-step process for understanding how your thoughts and emotions create your reality, your goal becomes your result. All results are created by taking actions, and all actions are driven by feelings. All feelings are created by our thoughts. We need to understand that at first, our feelings will not be what they need to be to complete the goal. If they were, we would have already completed the goal. So I'm going to say that again, because I think that's super important. We need to understand that at first, our feelings will not be what they need to be to complete this goal. Because if you were feeling the way you needed to feel to complete this goal, you would have already completed it. So for example, if your goal is to run a certain distance without inserting walk breaks, you need to feel a certain way to do that. You need to have a certain emotion in your body to continue doing the training to get you to that point. If you already felt that way, you would have already achieved the goal. So to begin your thought work on your goal, you have to understand what your feelings are now. How do you feel when you think about doing the work to achieve your goal? What's your current thinking and what is causing this feeling? Ask yourself why you don't already have it. This will give you the reason or the thought. The result line for this model is not having it or creating it. So again, ask yourself, why do I not already have this goal? And maybe write down everything that comes to mind. And then read back through those things and know that all of those things are thoughts and all of our thoughts are optional. These are just the stories you're telling yourself about why you don't have the goal. And these stories need to change if you want to accomplish the goal. So what are the feelings you want and need to feel in order to get the work done to achieve your goal? I'm guessing committed, excited, empowered, disciplined, willing. What are your current feelings? What's the thought you need to believe to create these emotions and to drive action? So what would you need to think about your goal to feel committed to it? What would you need to think about your goal to feel excited about it? What would you need to think about your goal to feel empowered to do it? You need to refer to these thoughts often. These are going to be your script for getting your goal done. So if you want to feel empowered to accomplish this goal, you could think, achieving this goal is 100% possible. And then anytime you feel stuck, maybe you've written that thought on a sticky note or you've put it in your phone so you can see it frequently, pull up that sentence and read it. Because these are the thoughts that you're practicing to get yourself to feel the way that you need to feel to accomplish your goal. Then you'll be thinking the thoughts you need to be thinking to generate the emotion you need to be feeling in order to take action. Being 100% committed to this process is what will make sure you get it done. Okay, ready for the next step? It's time to brainstorm. What is everything you need to do to accomplish this goal? Make a list. You don't want to be conservative here. The more you can anticipate, the better. This list does not have to be in order at this point. It's a brainstorm. So what are all of the things that you need to do to accomplish this goal? If anything, it feels bigger than just a one-step process. Break that down into smaller pieces, smaller actions. Okay, the next step. After you've done your brainstorm, you've decided how you want to feel, you've decided what you need to think in order to feel that way. For everything you want, there are going to be obstacles. If there weren't any obstacles, you'd already have it. The good news is all obstacles can be turned into strategies to get the job done. These strategies are actually the exact steps to accomplishing your goal. So first we go through the obstacles, and then we'll use that list to create strategies and add those to our to-do list. What's in between you and your goal? Write it all down. What's hard about your goal? Write it all down. What do you think you need help with? Write it all down. So now you have a list of the obstacles that are keeping you from your goal. Turn each one into a strategy or a skill you need to develop. Add it to your list of to-dos. For example, if you would like to not eat sugar for 30 days or reduce the amount of sugar that you're eating, some of your obstacles might be, there are a lot of sugary snacks in my house. I have a desire to eat sugar. Withdrawal from sugar is hard. My friends always order dessert when we're at dinner. At night, I want to relax and have something sweet at the end of the day. Strategies might be to remind yourself that your desire to eat sugar is conditioned. Or maybe another strategy is, I'll handle my withdrawal from sugar by drinking more water. So coming up with all of the obstacles and then a strategy to overcome that obstacle becomes your step-by-step plan for accomplishing your goal. So the next step is to schedule it on the calendar, because what gets scheduled gets done. And this is the very tedious part that your brain's not going to want to do, but you need to do if you're going to move forward. This is the proactive work that makes everything so much easier. You have to add every single thing on that list to your calendar. There can't be exceptions here. Everything needs to have a place on your calendar and a time frame to complete it, because otherwise, other stuff is going to fill that time on your calendar and you're not going to accomplish your goal. Schedule time to practice your new thoughts that will help you feel the way that you need to feel to accomplish your goal, and schedule time to do the work on your goal. Some things will be scheduled daily. They'll be tasks that you repeat each day. Other things will be scheduled only on certain days. You might need to schedule time for learning or time for thinking. Schedule your month by assigning priorities first. So you probably have heard the advice about money is when you get your paycheck, pay yourself first. Same thing with your calendar. So before you put anything else on your calendar, put down the tasks that you need to do to accomplish your 30-day goal. Although you'll be putting everything else on your to-do list, you want to make sure it isn't rescheduled for any reason. You need to accommodate anything that could supersede what you're committing to. So schedule work, family time, and daily requirements first. Then make sure you schedule nothing time. Give yourself an hour a day when you don't have to do anything and you can pick whatever you like. By doing this, you can stop feeling sorry for yourself. You have work time and then you have nothing time. Some people like to work first and have nothing time after, but you might want to do it differently. If you seriously commit to your productive time and nothing time and take your calendar seriously, you'll blow your mind with how productive you are. I want to talk a little bit about the importance of nothing time because it's just as important as your work time. And I know that's so hard for you as an overachiever and someone who likes to see results and also feels a little uncomfortable resting. A friend of mine was talking the other day about how she took almost an entire day to rest. And she started feeling guilty because there were so many things she had to do. But then she was like, but Amanda said that it's important to rest. So I'm glad she was listening. But rest is just, it's an important part of getting things done. If you think about a professional athlete or really any athlete who's working through a training plan, rest days are just as, if not more important than training days. Because your body physically needs time to repair itself and get stronger and grow. And same thing with, if you want to call it your soul or your emotions or even your brain, like your whole being, your heart, also needs that recovery time. So if you're in go mode all the time, you're actually slowing yourself down. It's like trying to drive around with the parking lot with the parking brake on. You can't be in go mode all the time. I know you've learned that the hard way is by going and burning yourself out or going and getting sick and going and hurting yourself. I've been there too. But you have to build in rest time and do nothing time in order to get the results that you want to achieve as well. It's just as important, if not more important, than the action time. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be resting all the time, right? Like you're not going to be laying in bed thinking, but this is part of achieving my goal if you do that every day, right? You need to balance it with action. But I know that the population, the people who listen to this podcast, probably err towards overaction and then underaction. You tend to do too much and burn yourself out. So I wanted to put a little caveat in there about the importance of rest. Okay. Something to think about is we rebel against a calendar because we don't like how rigid it is. By planning nothing time, you can counteract that time of thinking because you know that there's a balance of rigidity and nothing. I remember when I was an assistant principal and people would ask me what I was going to do on the weekend, I would be like, do? I just want to lay in bed and stare at the wall for a while. Like I really needed that time to decompress and untangle my thoughts and recalibrate my emotions after a really busy week. And so definitely schedule your nothing time, schedule your stare at a wall time, but also schedule your action time. Give yourself about an hour each week to create your schedule. And I used to really rebel against that. I would hate that because I would be like, that would be an hour that I could actually be doing stuff rather than putting on my calendar that I'm going to do stuff. And I had a really hard time making that leap to pulling out an hour out of my schedule to create my schedule. But trust me on this one, or at least experiment with it. Trust me enough to experiment with it. Give yourself an hour each week. And I teach an entire protocol about how to do this. If you're interested, send me an email and I'll send it to you or I'll talk to you about it. Or maybe I'll do a future podcast on it. So I like to schedule my time on Sundays. So I put an hour in my calendar each Sunday. And that's when I do my scheduling, or sometimes I do it first thing Monday morning. But sometimes Mondays, I get rolling and then the scheduling doesn't happen. Anyway, give yourself an hour each week to create your schedule. Put the hard and fast commitments like work time, places you need to be first, and then schedule your time for your goal activities. That includes your rest time, your do-nothing time. But give yourself an hour to create your schedule. And then when you're creating your schedule, give yourself approximately as much time as you think it will take each task for you to do each task. Remembering that each task will expand to fill the time as needed. So don't give yourself too much time. Remember that your future self will need to follow through on all of this. So be kind and thoughtful when scheduling. Don't overschedule yourself. This is a life lesson that I am still learning is just because I want to do all of the things that I've packed onto my calendar in one day doesn't mean that I physically or mentally or emotionally can. Be kind to your future self. Schedule napping time. Schedule breaks. So put your list of to-dos in order. Determine how much time everything will take. And then add all of those items to the calendar on each day with time frames. So you have 30 days to accomplish your goal. What are all of the action steps, the obstacles and strategies, the action steps or your strategies? What are all the action steps you need to take? Put those on your calendar on specific days and specific times. Now, if you're focused on being proactive, you end up being so much less reactive. You probably have heard that before. You'll have to learn how to say no. When you have something on your calendar, make a practice of not rescheduling it ever. Make a commitment to yourself. This is where self-trust comes in. It's not abandoning yourself and abandoning your goals for other people or for other priorities. Unless it's an emergency, honor what's on your calendar like it's a meeting with the CEO of your life, which is you. You won't want to stick to your calendar. Here's the thing, is the task will come up on your calendar when it's time to do it. You're going to want to do anything but that. That's a normal human brain thing. So don't beat yourself up about that. I know that we tend to go into stories of like, oh, well, if I really wanted to achieve this goal, then I would want to do this task. No, your brain just doesn't like sitting down and doing things. That's just not how our brains work. So when it comes time to do a specific task, your brain's going to protest. Just know that that's going to happen. You won't want to do the task. You won't want to stick to your calendar. You'll want to make excuses. You'll want to be flexible and keep changing your mind. But that's the kiss of death for goals. You have to, once you put it on the calendar, you have to honor that like a sacred commitment. And I know that this is going to be a practice for a lot of you. This is going to be a new thing for a lot of you because we're so used to pushing our own goals and wishes and desires aside. So don't make any exceptions. Unless, of course, somebody's bleeding, then address the bleeding. Clients tell me all the time that things take longer than they'd planned for them. And this is never something you want to say. You have that a moment of time to get it done, so you have to get it done. Not getting it done is not an option. And when you accept that, you get it done in the time you've planned. Things don't take a certain amount of absolute time, as so many of you seem to think they do. It's not just that you have something to accomplish, it's that you must get it done within your deadline. This is something that you'll practice and you'll get used to, but it helps more than anything with productivity and focus. You know yourself, so you might want to have a backup plan. Make sure that your backup plan is more painful than the original plan. For example, if you don't get your work done, you need to finish it on your day off. You'll get great at producing work if you really want that day off. Write down your backup plan. Once you've done the work up front and scheduled everything, the only thing you have to do is stick to it. You work your plan. This is a daily process. The first few days are usually easy because we're excited and we have momentum, but then we often lose some steam. But if we commit to managing our brain, we can learn the skill of directing it and producing amazing results. If you can commit to doing this for 1 month, you'll get over the tedium of it and realize how productive and powerful you can be when you plan. Imagine your goal completed. 30 days isn't a very long time, but you'll be in a different place afterward if you just stick to what's on your calendar. Not only that, but you'll develop a new skill and habit that will serve you throughout the rest of your life so that you can continue to create goals, continue to achieve them, and continue to become more and more the person who has the power over her own life. Once you can break down your tasks and consider the obstacles to your goal, come up with solutions to each of the obstacles, and schedule all of your to-dos, then you have a framework. And no matter what your brain does, no matter how much your brain freaks out or decides later that it doesn't know what it's doing, or all of the things that our brains do, you have that framework to fall back on. And you know that you have your nothing time to look forward to and your rest time. So then you're going to become so much more powerful, so much more the creator of your own life. So I hope that is super helpful. I love setting 30-day goals. Again, take some time to evaluate 2023 so far. Are you where you want to be? If not, that's okay. You can always change. You can always stop, pivot, and start moving forward in a new direction. You always have that ability. The past only exists in your head. So no matter what's happened for the first 6 months of this year, if you're not as far along as you wanted to be, that's okay. You can start fresh now. And if you'd like help with that, I love helping clients achieve 30-day goals. I love teaching you how to manage your mind, manage your emotions so that you can overcome perfectionism, procrastination, self-doubt, all of the things that get in the way of us achieving our biggest dreams and goals. So if you'd like to talk about working together and figuring out how I can help support you achieve those dreams and goals, book a consultation call. The link is below, and I can't wait to talk to you. All right, friends, I'll see you next week, but I won't actually see you. I will talk into a microphone and hopefully you'll listen. All right, take care. If you found this podcast helpful, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And go ahead and send it to a friend while you're at it. Thank you. My mission in life is to liberate women from the limiting beliefs that are holding them back from living their fullest, most joyful lives. If you'd like to learn more about my work, check out my website at www.amandaryanfear.com. That's AmandaryanFear.com.